Hi, I'm Kalila Reynolds, and welcome to another live edition of Taking Stock. We're bringing you all the latest business news and telling you how it will affect you and your money. I want to ask you a question. Are you part of the Money Mission community? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to moneymission.mn.co or click the link in the description or the comments to join. Also, remember to hit the like button and subscribe to this channel. Now, tell me, where are you joining us from? Let me know in the comments below what part of the country, what part of the world, because we've got a great show lined up for you. Here's a look at what's coming up in tonight's show, followed by what's hot in business. And come on, let's get this money.
Scientists say July was the hottest month on record since 1880, so it's no surprise Jamaica's energy demand has soared. What does this mean for your JPS bill? JPS Director of System Operations, Linkoy Small, will join us to discuss. And the analysts weigh in on the latest market developments. Business is slowing down for used car dealer Jetcon Corporation. The company had to dispose of 10 vehicles from its EV fleet. Why? We'll discuss. And stationery and office supplies, second quarter results are out. How did they perform? But first, here's what's hot, brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. Governor of the Bank of Jamaica, Richard Biles, says if Jamaicans begin earning more, but the amount of goods and services produced does not increase, inflation will suffer. The BOJ's concern comes following news that the number of Jamaicans working is at an all-time high. The governor said that higher-than-projected future wage adjustments in the private sector could hinder the BOJ's effort to bring inflation down to the target range of 4-6% by the end of the year. The inflation rate has hovered just outside the range for the last 4 months. Biles said if private sector wages increase significantly above the current inflation rate and are not accompanied by increased output from the workforce, the country's inflation rate will go up. JPS customers should expect to see an almost 2% increase in their next electricity bill. The increase follows the Office of Utilities Regulation's annual tariff adjustment review. The OUR said its decision became effective on August 9 and will be reflected in bills received for consumption following that date. Scientists announced earlier this month that July was the hottest month on record since 1880. According to JPS, the demand for electricity peaked at 692 megawatts on July 12. The police have one person in custody following last week's attack on a beryllium transport vehicle in Manchester. Gunmen reportedly made off with an undisclosed amount of money in an attack that injured 3 people. This is the latest in a string of attacks against the company, which transports cash for several of the island's financial institutions. It's unclear how Friday's attack will impact the company's operations going forward. The fourth largest bank in America, Wells Fargo, was ordered to repay customers over $40 million last week for excessive investment advice fees. According to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, Wells Fargo financial advisors lied to clients, saying they would reduce the firm's standard preset advisory fees, but never did. The SEC said some 11,000 accounts were overbilled for years up to last December. The bank did not admit any wrongdoing, but also agreed to pay the SEC $35 million as a civil penalty. What's Hot was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
My name is Trisha Gay O'Connor, and I'm an attorney at law. I attended the Real Estate Investing for Beginners course. It is a topic that has always appealed to me. I came away with a strategy as to how to invest in real estate. So I thought it was something that was definitely a goal, but a far-reaching one, but it seemed much more attainable. So once I attended it and heard the strategy.
And you're better off, honestly, just buying the property, holding it, and as the value goes up over time, you can access a second mortgage or a home equity loan, as they call it. You can rinse and repeat that strategy and end up with 10 houses, because all you do, you buy one. Even if it's your first house, you're living in there, you buy one house, price goes up over time, take out a mortgage against now the increase in value, use that to buy a second house. I'll tell you guys, because in here, I'm going to pay up for the money, exactly how I did it.
As simple as it seems, no, I actually never thought about it. And so for me, I have a plan. I didn't expect to come out with a plan, but I came out with a plan, so I'm extremely happy. Thank you very much, Khalila, and thank you so much, Keisha. The information was presented in a very clear, understandable way, and I am grateful. This is the start of me investing in real estate. So guys, definitely join the Money Mission. You won't regret it. Take my word.
Real Estate for Beginners is available on demand or with a premium membership to the Money Mission community. Join now at moneymission.mn.co. The link is in the description.
How you doing?
I'm successful. How are you?
I'm good.
What's funny?
You said you're successful. What? That mean you got business?
Yes, I mind my business.
You probably too much to handle. You got a minute?
You got money?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I got money. What you want?
You got Cash App?
Nah, not Cash App.
PayPal?
What you need right now?
Venmo?
I don't really got no digital pay.
Zelle?
Nah.
Have a nice day.
Hey, bro.
This segment of Taking Stock is brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency, insurance made easy.
Welcome back. So it seems that I am having some internet issues tonight. So bear with me, guys. I don't know what's going on. I tried plugging in the cable. It's still, you know, up and down. So hopefully I don't pull a David. Hopefully things work out and we can get through, you know, tonight's show. So first, let me big up all our viewers, starting with Kish this week. Kish says, let's get this money. Greetings, everyone. Maurice says, greetings from St. Thomas. What a dreadful title you have for today's show. How come JPS not make enough money with all the fans and AC a blow hard this summer? Gosh, man, what is the title? I didn't even look at what the title is. Nicole says, big up Khalila, leading the curve. Thank you so much, Nicole. We got Craig tuning in from Kingston 20. Says, even JPS learning from you. They're saying, let's get this money. Trust me, right now is the time for that light bill to turn up. Kish says, JPS needs some competition. The monopoly ain't working out. Elaine says, it's been a minute since I tuned in, so let's get this money. We got Nano Sense, as usual, tuning in from far, far away. We got Orville. They're in Spanish Town, and a bunch of other comments we see there. We'll take some of the others later on in the program. So scientists say July was the hottest month on record since, guess how long? As far as they know anyway, guess how long? Since 1880. That's how much years? 150 years. So it's no surprise that Jamaica's energy demand has soared. Everybody plugging in that AC, buying AC, plugging in that fan, and working just extra hard. And what does this mean for your JPS bill? Joining me now, we have Director of System Operations at JPS, Linkoy Small. Hi, Linkoy.
How are you doing?
Not bad. Trying to cope with this internet that's giving me some trouble. Okay, yes, there you are again. How are you doing? How are you dealing with this heat?
It's crazy, right? But we're trying to keep as cool as possible, right? And I'll just encourage everybody just to keep cool and try and stay safe, right? Because this heat out here is crazy.
Yeah. So JPS disclosed that electricity demand hit a record high in July. That's last month. We now have peak demand, or we had peak demand of 692 megawatts of power, up from 675 megawatts just a month before. So how is JPS meeting that demand?
Well, how we have been meeting that demand, the last year we recorded a peak for this country was in 2017. And that peak at that time was 6666.67, right? Funny to say that number. And what we have seen now is a record almost 4% jump, right, from 2017 to July the 12th. That was when we had that peak. How we have been meeting this peak, actually been doing a very good job. We have had no incidents in serving that demand from our customers, right? These are some things that we anticipate from time to time. Every time we operate our system, we have generating units that will serve your load, and we'll have some units on standby to with reserve capacity to serve that demand. So we were in pretty good shape this year to serve that excess demand, thank God.
Oh, so what has led to this demand? Like, have you noticed a difference in household usage? versus business usage?
Well, it's funny that you said that, you know, because I actually have my team of engineers going as deep as possible to try and see what were the drivers. And what we have seen so far is that our residential customers, right, picked up the lion's share of that increase. Because if you're at home and you're hot, you're going to want to turn on those fans. We hear all of the companies selling the Panasonics and the Prism saying that they are almost out of stock for air conditioning units. So we have a high uptake in residential consumption as well as some commercial. But the residential really accounted for the lion's share.
Not surprising, because the fan working overtime, the AC, people just buying them off. And you said earlier, though, that you're in a good position to meet the demand, but we have had some outages. So what happened there?
All right. So those outages that might happen from time to time are due to various reasons, but it had nothing to do with our inability to meet that demand. What would have driven some of those outages, for example, from time to time, you'll have motor vehicle accidents, cars hitting poles. Funny enough, some persons actually trying to steal electricity and they're throwing up the wires and they miss the wire that they want to hit and hit out the what you call the high tension wires above them, and it will end up taking out an entire area. And then on some other occasions, you might have it due to the weather, right? So there are various reasons why we might take our customers. But for this year, none of it was due to our inability to meet this increase in demand.
But you did have at least one, I think that was in June, that JPS, the press release came out and it said that you ended up doing load shedding. So explain what load shedding is.
All right. So if you look at everything as a typical balance, as the customers demand electricity, we try to generate it, right? So we have generating plants on standby, always ready to serve that load, that demand. And whenever you have a disturbance in that balance, if you do not have insufficient generating units at that given point in time to serve that demand, then it might cause what you call load shedding. The customer is the load. So in order to keep your system operable, you have to remove that load, because otherwise it will create an overloaded condition, too much congestion, and your grid can actually even collapse within even 2 to 5 seconds.
So isn't that just a pretty way of saying you can't manage the load?
No. Because what happened in that was an abnormal situation where due to weather-related events and other things, we lost a couple generating units on that day due to different faults. It was almost like a perfect Murphy's Law. So the demand even on that day was not high. It was not near that record peak, that 692 that we're talking about. But a series of catastrophic events actually happened. And this is not unique to Jamaica, because I've been talking to some other colleagues in North America and Europe, and they have had other instances to where just due to faults, you drive a car and the car actually breaks down. Things like that will happen from time to time. So on that day, we lost a lot of our generating units due to multiple events all happening at the same time. And as a result of us losing those generating units, which would have supplied the demand, and the other generating units, which were offline at the time, those that I mentioned that were in reserve, they do not start up as quickly as possible to basically to put you back in a position to serve that demand. So what you have to do in that instant is that you have to relieve the system of some customers, unfortunately, right, or load shed until you can get those other units, which take 5 to 10 minutes to start up. And then you restore those customers.
How do you decide which customers to shed?
Well, it will depend on which area of the country might have a high level of congestion, right? So you have to shed enough to basically keep your system stable. So one area might be generating a lot of electricity at that time. And therefore, in that case that happened, we had to shed a lot of those highly residential areas. Some persons in the corporate area, St. Catherine there, but we have to relieve those customers from the grid very quickly. Because if we fail to do that, then it will result in a collapse of the entire grid in an instant. And that was an event that, honestly, we are still doing investigations to ensure that we do not have a repeat of that. We have to learn from that. And we also want to take this opportunity to apologize to the Jamaican public, because they deserve the best. And every day we are actually trying to ensure that we give them the best.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned you choose the areas with a high level of congestion, because somehow, and I may be wrong, but somehow I feel like electricity supply is much less reliable in rural areas, and that we hear complaints from rural customers much more often than those in urban areas, saying that, you know, they're having these blackouts and stuff.
Oh, no. In fact, on that occasion, more persons in the urban areas lost electricity than those in the rural areas. So there's no segregation
on that occasion, but that was an anomaly.
That was
on a regular basis.
And on a regular
basis, customers have more problems with stable electricity supply than urban ones.
No, what might happen is that in the rural area, just based on the topology of the area. So if you're talking in the urban areas, you do not have a lot of vegetation or trees growing along the roadway. You might have a lot of civil network, a lot of construction. But in some rural areas, you might have, you know, you have to be running lines through mountains, through hilly terrains. And sometimes if we do not have the ability to get into some areas and to remove some of these vegetation from the line, it will cause problems. We have a lot of rain and lightning activity actually in the rural area. And what happens sometimes is that that lightning might strike a tree and it breaks that branch, and that branch will drop on a power line, or the lightning itself might strike the power line. So there's nothing that we are preferring to give power to persons in the urban areas or in the corporate area more than somebody living in a Hanover, in a St. Elizabeth, that they're about. We're not in the business of doing that. We see our customer classes, our parishes as equal, and it is our duty or responsibility to ensure that we serve everybody as best as possible.
Orville has a comment. Orville says, but those disruptions don't reflect on the bill.
Really, Orville? No. So let's answer Orville quickly if you want me to. Go ahead. If you do not use electricity at any given point in time, once your electricity goes, then if you had one of those old meters, which we are phasing out, then the old meters, which normally would spin, then it stops spinning. Once there is no power being registered in your house, you will not be charged. It will not be like other services who still charge some kind of flat rate. For GPS, once there's a disruption, right, then there's no charge. And in fact, if we do not perform at certain standards in maintaining power supply, GPS operates in a regulated environment. We can't just do what we want to do and get away with it, contrary to what some people might think. So if we do not perform at our best, then there are penalties that are issued out to us by the OUR. So it is within the business of GPS to try and ensure that we keep the lights on. And if you want to look at it from layman's term, Arville, if you are selling a product, the minute you stop selling that product, you can't collect from the customers. So if it's a business you're running, it's within your duty to try and ensure that that product stays on and has the best quality at any given point in time.
Javon wants to know, what causes extended load shedding that occurs for weeks on end? Do you have load shedding going on for weeks at a time?
I don't know which country. That probably happens on Venus, but not here. Right? But definitely not here for us in Jamaica. We do not have customers who we do load shedding for in a week. Load shedding basically, for example, on occasions like that, might work out to sometimes at least between an hour to an hour and a half as an extreme. But as I said, you customers might be restored within 5 to 10 minutes, depending on how quickly we can get some of those backup units online. One of the good things to note as well is that some of the plans that JPS is putting forward in the future, in collaboration with the energy sector, with the ministry, with the OUR, is to put on what you call battery storage, some things that are so quick that they will store the power, and once you need them very quickly, they will release the power as quickly as you lose some generating units. So as we try to improve our systems, you would realize that the cases of load shedding will hopefully start to reduce. Once you have that new battery storage technology, which is something that we are working on to get on our grid as quickly as possible. In fact, our first battery storage system was put into service here in Jamaica in 2019. And to date, that kind of technology that we have remains the largest such technology in the world. So we are investing as much as possible in improving the reliability of our supply. We don't get it right all the time, but we're getting there, and we're doing that because our customers deserve the best.
So Javon, if you can be more specific, let me know in the comments where
right. You we need to find out where Javon lives, because there's no load shedding for weeks. I wouldn't have a job if there's load shedding for weeks. No, not go to Japan.
Well, let me tell you, there are a lot of comments coming in, as you can imagine. JPS is always a hot topic. Light bill is always a hot topic. So let me just go straight to the comments again.
Right, because I'm feeling the heat in this seat, Khalilah. So it's a hot seat. Yeah, it's a hot seat.
So Direct Tech says, I have experienced 3-hour blackout.
Yeah, right.
Just aware. It would have been helpful to know where. But that does happen from time to time. I've noticed
that from time to time. For example,
not regularly from my experience.
It's not regularly, and it's not a load-shedding situation. It might be one of those cases in which, let us say, I remember an example that happened not too long ago where somebody, like a tree limb, fell on somebody's line, right? So remember now, GPS wires extend from miles and miles. If something happens in the night, we have to sometimes send out our crews to find these problems. So picture you driving along every street, every roadway, looking for some kind of defect on a wire, and somebody has to be using a flashlight. It's not in the night, right? It's not in the day, sorry. So you have to basically be using flashlights and strobe lights to try and find that fault. And it might take you sometimes just an hour and a half, just to find the problem. And then once you get there, then you will have to mobilize your team, depending on what that problem is, to try, though, if the wires get broken or a pole gets damaged, even, especially in the case of motor vehicle accidents, then you have to plant a pole, put back the wires, and that might take long. So we're sorry for that 3-hour outages, that outage, but sometimes these things do happen. But good, thank goodness that our crews can respond to them quickly. And it helps also when you are customers, you call in or you use a GPS mobile application to log whenever you're seeing a problem where you have an outage. That helps us to get to the area quickly and reduce the time that you're out.
So Javon is back with more details. And he says, I live in St. Mary, and we had a period where there was continued load shedding, especially in the night. The lights kept blinking and some sections of the house were without power.
Okay. I don't know what happened in that instant, but let me share something with you. Some people, I remember this incident, some people actually steal electricity. What they try to do is, sometimes they don't get it right. And they throw up the wire, or they climb the pole, or they use a stick and push up the thing. And when they do it and they don't even make those connections properly, it tends to create some sudden overloads on the system, or it's what you call short circuits, right? Sorry. So it creates these short circuits and you might see light dim, it goes off on and off, on and off, on and off, because they're trying to get it right. It's damaging their equipment. They don't care about you, you know, they don't care about the legitimate customers. So they're pushing up these wires and pushing up the Aki stick and everything to try and make good contact. And while doing that, they're also shorting out your supplies. In fact, that thing on the pole that we, some of you call panar, it's called a transformer. Sometimes what eventually happens is that they don't do these things right. They overload these transformers and it causes them to explode. And that also results, when you hear that load explosion, that will result in customers being out. And then when you drive into the area now, everybody turns a shade all of a sudden. You don't see the Aki stick or anything going up again. So then there's nothing. And the minute you drive out of there, they're once again, they try to steal electricity. So sometimes that happens while you have that on and off supply, right? So I'm just saying that you can be mindful of that, but we can actually do a little bit deeper investigation, right? When we come off the air.
Oh boy, the comments just keep coming in. So next question, let me see which one I should take next. Charlene says that JPS needs a WhatsApp number where we can message you when there's an outage. Do you guys have anything like that? I know you can report it on the app.
You can report it on the app, and you have different social media handles that persons can actually report outages on. But let me tell you something, Charlene. Get the JPS mobile app. Not only can you just report an outage, you can check where an outage is. You can check the consumption. You can also check what your next light bill is projected to be and to see if you need to tell your children or Jose, say, boy, you're running the AC or the fan too much and turn it off. You can check it to an hourly basis, and you can also pay those bills online, right? So I would suggest to you that, yes, you can use social media and those things that we have available, but get the app. It's the best thing since sliced bread.
Speaking of the app, Maurice says, what's the rationale for JPS forcing everyone to use the app? The Morant Bay branch was closed and not everyone has access to the internet and not all seniors are tech savvy. I know what he means by forcing people to use the app.
Yeah, but I think I get the point that he's making. It is not forcing people to use the app, and we do realize that not everybody is tech savvy, as you said. Last week, I can be honest with you, my grandaunt sticked me up in trying to pay a bill or wanting to know her bill and everything, and she trying to understand how the app work or and everything like that. So as time progresses, we have different services. It's not just the app we're forcing. There are still some offices, probably might not be in your direct area that you're used to, that you do, but you can always still call the GPS lines, right, to get information if you need it, right? We know it has been an inconvenience to some customers who we have closed the office, right? But we are trying our best to maintain that connectivity because it's always important that we stay in touch with the customers, right? So we apologize for that. Right. And for those seniors, we keep some of the offices open. Sometimes we even have these kind of mobile units that go into the areas to take care of that. So we're going to try and get to everyone, right? So bear with us for a little.
So Hugh says you're very responsive on the app. So congratulations, congratulating on you on that. Can't complain, he says. And then we have Honorine saying, are you the PR person? Because you need a raise. Your convincing skills are on point. So let me just remind people of your title. You're actually Director of Systems Operations. Mm-hmm. So let's get back on topic, because some of these questions that we have here, Linkoy is not in a position to answer.
But I like this one. So probably all other persons in chat can just copy and paste. He needs a raise and everything. You know. I'll accept all donations. Right?
All right. So going back to the load shedding, you said it happens from time to time when you have certain issues. What is it looking like for September, the rest of the year? Can we expect more load shedding to occur? Is it something that you plan, or it's usually just...
For any modern utility company, load shedding is not something that's an option. You don't do that. You don't plan that, right? You put in a lot of mitigation measures as much as possible to avoid that. However, though, if something's happening, please note now that we're going into the hurricane season. So for some of us who watch the weather, so tonight, or we're looking at the radar, we see where Franklin is heading up towards the direction of Bermuda. We see the next one that's heading towards Florida. As you get deeper into the rainy season, a lot of things might happen, especially in the month of September. So we are not planning for anything to happen. As far as we know, all the systems are good, but just note that sometimes things might happen from time to time. If we get rain, if we get that tropical storm, right, that takes out certain areas of the country, then it might affect our supply. But there is no plan to load shed.
Okay. Deco says, at a heat knockout, the transformer combined with little load with the what? Customer then put... Combined with a little load where the customer then put upon it, yeah, man, it will pop down for true. I figured that one out. So does heat have anything to do with the transformers going down?
Transformers do get hot, right? But they have their own cooling system in it that they can manage. But what tends to happen sometimes with the transformers, as I said, if you're stealing or if a man cut down an aki tree or you might try to pick mango and miss, or sometimes you might have some equipment failure, if those kind of things happen, then they would cause the transformer. There's a thing on the transformer, it's called a fuse that protects it, because you don't want to keep buying transformers, and those things will operate, protect the transformer, and the customers will be out. But there's no heating that's impacting the transformers, and it's not the little loading, the excess loading that the customers use. Those are not the things that are blowing the transformer. In fact, when we're doing the design, we always leave additional capacity for future growth. So that's something that we have in mind, right? So we're doing our best for you.
So I have a couple of people who are complaining about how much their light bill has gone up. So we do expect that the bills go up in the summer months. I notice that every single year at my home, because we pay the light bill. So I do notice that. But people are saying, a couple of them saying it's gone up by 50%, which sounds like a lot. So we have Sir Nation says, I live alone, work a 9-to-5 during the summer. I work an extra 2 hours daily when I'm home. I only use my typical everyday appliances. So I know my average monthly bill rate 2 months now, I see a 50% increase.
So she's seen a 50%. So I live alone. She works a 9-to-5. So is it Sir Nathan Nation Meds? Is it, say if this person is working from home? So, okay, normally you work at home and it's good. And let me tell you something. I'll give you a good story here. About 2-3 weeks ago, I decided that I would work from home, right? I have the option to work from home. And I never realized that it is so hot out there. So normally you stay home and you work from home and it's okay. You have the door open, the windows open, you're good. For that day that I was home, and I have air conditioning at my house for that part of that room, I thought I could just run that AC for 2 hours. And then after that, it would shut down the place, it would stay cool and everything. I had to end up running that AC for that entire 9-to-5 period. And then Sir Med just wrote on his thing that he also added an additional 2 hours, right? That extra cooling that you needed, my bill actually went up by more than 50%, right? Just for that period, for that, because I also was doing a lot of staying home and everything, right? So with that increased need for cooling, especially in the nights, right? Because one of the things that is happening, this heat, it does not only exist during the day, but you make 12 o'clock catch you in the night and your fan are so not running, right? You will end up saying, all right, so you said, so you know what I talk about. So you'll be sweating all through the night. So your bill is not just because of the 9-to-5. I guarantee you, and him can come back and type that he's also doing some levels of cooling and running that fan or the AC straight through the night because the heat is so lingering, right? It's not just a daily event. So don't look at it as just your 9-to-5. The entire heat profile of the country and probably of this globe has actually gone out. I was talking to one of my friends who works in Florida on their grid. And about 2 weeks ago, they hit the highest peak ever for their section of the grid. So none of this is unique to Jamaica. It's happening all over the world.
I'm seeing a lot of questions about stealing electricity and who pays for it. Well, let me just stress, guys, Linko is a director of, what's the title again?
Operations. I run the grid. Right.
So he runs the grid. So I can't ask Linkoy these questions. It wouldn't be fair of me to ask Linkoy these particular questions. But I do see a couple about the system itself and how it runs. This one comes from Steve, who wants to know. He says, JPS is one of the most expensive energy producers in the Caribbean. What is being done to reduce the cost of electricity? I think that's a pretty good question.
And that's a good question, Steve, right? And that's a fair question. So one of the problems, so it's not JPS is one of the most expensive, it is Jamaica. I saw one of the comments earlier in your thing saying that JPS needs competition. So just to let your viewers know, JPS is not a monopoly in electricity generation. In fact, our market share of electricity generation is only about a third, 33%. 66% of electricity comes from private users, not JPS. So there's no monopoly. There is competition in the generation market. So we're just getting that out there. So the electricity rate is a Jamaican problem because we also have other parties who are generating power for us. So let's look at one of the key things that goes into electricity generation. Fuel. Now, the last I checked, there was no gas or there's no oil here in Jamaica. So these are things that we have to be importing. So we have to be importing gas. We have to be importing oil and so to keep some of those generating plants running. The strategy for this now is there's something that JPS is working along with the Ministry of Science, Energy and Technology, as well as in collaboration with other energy stakeholders, the OUR, to develop what is called an integrated resource plan. And what that plan does, it's a 20-year look to see this is the future of the country. What new technologies exist out there that we can incorporate onto the grid to ensure that not only do we make electricity reliable, but we make it affordable, and what old technology needs to be taken out of the grid and replaced so that we make new room for these new technologies to come in. So in that plan, we have been doing some assessment, and the objective of that plan as far as, and this is one of JPS's focus as well, is to ensure that those bills go down. The rate must go down. So while we're working with the government, that is something that we're stressing, that the rates have to go down. And this plan is so designed to get the rates down by getting new technologies in, including using renewable technology, right? Because we have a lot of wind and we have a lot of sun here. So instead of relying on imported fuel, what we plan to do, and this is our national direction, is to incorporate some renewables on the grid so that we don't need to buy fuel from somebody else. We're using naturally occurring wind and the naturally occurring sun to generate electricity. We know though that by design, some of the wind and the solar, the wind doesn't blow every day and the sun doesn't shine every time. So we are trying to couple that with some energy storage so that when the wind goes off or in the evening when the sun goes down, we can use that energy storage to pump power back into the grid to avoid load shedding and to ensure that we serve the customer. So that plan that we're doing in collaboration, and it's not a plan that's led by JPS, it's led by the ministry, and there's a lot of stakeholders, including JPS, who are working on it to try and get your rates down. Because as customers, Jamaica deserves cheaper electricity rates, and that is one of the mandates of this company, as well as, I know, the government of Jamaica.
But on the matter of rates, there's been a report that bills are actually going up. Customers will see an average 1.6% increase in electricity bills following the OUR's review of your tariff adjustment submission. So when should we expect to see that increase? And on what basis was that granted?
So, okay, I think those bills will be, that increase will be seen in your next month's reflection of the bill. So on what basis? All right, so just as any business, right, you might have changes in your overheads, foreign exchange, because a lot of the resources and raw materials sometimes that we use in electricity production do not come from Jamaica. So units have to be maintained, you have to buy wires, transformers, none of those things come from in here. So you have to be converting Jamaican dollars into US dollars to buy that. You might need an adjustment on your exchange rate. Inflation is another thing. JPS, as I said, also is judged on its performance in the previous year. So one key thing to note, JPS does not just get up or can never ever get up and set rates. The responsibility of setting rates in the country is that of the OUR, the Offices of Utility Regulation. JPS cannot determine that, okay, it needs to do a 5, 10, 2% increase and we're just getting passed on to the customers. We cannot do that. So every year there's a rate review that is done, right? And we make a submission to the regulator, the OUR. They review it. And then based on what they see, they will determine if that's fair, if that's reasonable, right? We have a good regulator who basically tries as best as possible to ensure that fair competition is in the market. Right. And then at the end of it, now this 1.6% was increase was granted. What does 1.6% mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a light bill. I'm a $10,000 man. Right. So if I pay $10,000, I'm just getting average out for everybody. I pay $10,000 this month. It means next month I'll be paying an increase of $10,160. Right, for 1 month, assuming that my consumption remains the same, right, I'm consuming the same electricity, and that the fuel and all of the parameters that goes into the bill are held constant. So does that increase, it means you're paying $160 extra. Couple of weeks ago, I know somebody, and him said, boy, this supermarket thing don't make sense no more. You're going to the supermarket with $10,000 4 months ago. Now, the last I check, if you go into the supermarket today with $10,000, right, you're going to be probably $4,000 short of buying what you need to buy, right, on a weekly basis. So you're paying $14,000 now for groceries, that the same groceries that normally cost $10,000 on a weekly basis. So I could do a little maths here. It's $4,000 every week, 4 weeks in a month, four times four, that's $16,000, right? And your supermarket can raise the cost of the products whenever they choose to. There is that a regulated sector. So $16,000 versus $160. I don't think JPS is doing too bad, right? In terms of us making you pay $160 versus $16,000. So it is something that has to be done because we have to cover off some overheads. But let me say this, it is never within our business just to try and raise the rates, because we need to ensure that the product is affordable so that the country can grow. So I'm not just going to gloss over it and say it's 1.6%, man, pay the bill. No, right? That's why in which a question that was asked earlier by, I think it was Steve, we have to try as best as possible to get the overall rates down, right? But from time to time, based on what is happening in any given business, you have to make minor adjustments. And that is what has happened in this case, right, in terms of the increase.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, we'll do what we can to cope. Thank you so much, Linkoy. This is a topic we could talk about all night, but we have limited time. So thanks for sharing some perspective.
And it was, thank you very much for having me, right? And we can do this again, right? Because the seat is hot, and I think it's time to get no.
The comments lit up.
Thanks for having me.
That's how it always is with JPS. All right, thanks again, Linkoy. It's now time for tonight's poll question. So let me ask you guys, here's our poll question for this evening. Based on the heat, has your spending gone up or gone down? Based on the heat, has your spending increased or decreased? Yes, I've had to be replenishing my drinking water supply regularly. Nope, not spending outside the ordinary. Yes, I'm seeing higher utility bills. My health-related expenses are through the roof because of this heat, or other leave a comment. I feel like we should have had all of the above response as well. So has your spending gone up or gone down or stayed the same based on the heat? So what heat-related expenses have you experienced in the past couple of months? Let us know in the chat, and also take our poll on the YouTube channel in the community section or on X, the app formerly known as Twitter. Now it's time for our hurricane tip from our sponsor, CG United.
Hurricane tips are brought to you by CG United. It's good like that.
All right, in the wake of days long hurricanes have affected our region within recent years, you should know what your insurer will classify as one event. When a catastrophe occurs, the 72-hour clause states that the incident is not over until there is a 72-hour period where the effects of the disaster are no longer felt. Why is this important? If that hurricane doubles back, and this has happened before, it could affect you if your insurer sees it as one or multiple events. If it's one event and you were affected and had to make a claim, one event means you cover that deductible once. But if it's more than one event, you would be required to pay the deductible for each event as dictated by the 72-hour clause. Wow. Learned something new today. That was your hurricane insurance tip brought to you by CG United.
Hurricane tips were brought to you by CG United. It's good like that.
While you're at it, hit that like button. Up next, we've got your market recap, and the analysts are standing by.
This segment of Taking Stock was brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency, insurance made easy.
Hey, moneymakers, join the KRM fam with our official merch. Get it now at KalilaReynolds.com. Let's get this money.
The JSE Combined Index was mostly stable last week. 117 stocks traded across the main and junior markets for the week ending Friday, August 25, 2023. 47 made gains, 57 lost value, and 13 stayed the same. 72 million shares changed hands on the Jamaican dollar market, valued at $363 million. Wigton was the week's most traded stock. It took up 13% of market volume with 9 million shares trading. The stock lost 1 cent to open Monday at 66 cents. Trans-Jamaican Highway traded the second highest. The stock lost 2 cents to open this week at $2.57. And Stanley Motor rounded out last week's most traded with 6 million shares changing hands. The stock gained 32 cents to open Monday at $4.84. Now let's see who are the biggest gains for the week. Epley Caribbean Property Fund SCC was the market's biggest gain, up 13%. The stock opened Monday at $41.10. AMG Paper and Packaging Company was also up 13% to start the new week at $2.59. And Consolidated Bakeries was up 12% to open the week at $2.60. On the losing side now, Siboney was the week's biggest loser. The stock lost 24 cents to open Monday at $1.17. CAC 2000 was the week's second biggest loser, opening the new week at $5.86. And MPC Caribbean Clean Energy was down almost 13%, closing last week at $71.50. Over on the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, the composite index lost 11 points or 1% last week. Massey was the most traded stock. The stock gained 4 cents to open this week at $4.69 TT. One Caribbean Media was the market's biggest gain, up 2%, to open this week at $3.74 TT. And on the losing side, Guardian Media fell 7% to open Monday at $2 TT. Over in the US, the Dow Jones lost 0.5% last week, while the S&P 500 gained 0.5% and the Nasdaq gained almost 2%. Motorists saw a slight dip at the pumps last week. Gas prices were down 25 cents, while the price of regular diesel dipped 38 and low sulfur diesel lost 58 cents. In foreign exchange, it took an average $155.54 Jamaican to purchase $1 last Friday. That's 2 cents more than a week before. Meanwhile, it took an average $115.19 Jamaican to purchase $1 Canadian. One British pound cost on average $198.93 Jamaican. And you could buy €1 for $170.89 Jamaican on average. Finally, on the crypto markets, Bitcoin prices fell 1% over the past 5 days, trading at $26,102 US on Monday, while Ethereum was down 1.5%, trading at $1,653 US on Monday. This segment of Taking Stock, The Analyst, is brought to you by Profit Jump Starter. Disclaimer: this is not intended as financial advice. Please consult a licensed financial advisor before making investment decisions.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Let me take a few of your comments before we introduce the analyst panel. Deco says, JPS, cut the line, you know. Lord God, when am I cut line? May I tell everybody feel? Jaja. Charlene says, some area light gone every minute and no tree or rain. Dennis says, when the light come back, the digital meter jump. Oh, gosh. Let me see what else we have. We had quite a lot of comments. The comments were lit, as expected, with a JPS topic. Let me see what else. A few comments from the poll question. David says, I take a shower when feeling hot. Love my black tank full of rainwater. Shower every time, anytime. Deco says, they say the planet's getting hotter than usual. Every record in human history. That's facts. Well, as far as we know, because we don't know the whole of human history from time was time when the earth was created or evolved, whichever one you believe. Orville says, you didn't hear him say them right to the OUR for a rate review and they don't set the rates. That's true. But I wanted to know on what basis the increase was granted. And inflation is a real one. We all know inflation has been pretty high over the past year and change, year and a half thereabouts. We've been suffering from very high inflation and that is now hitting our light bills once again, in addition to the increase because the increased usage from our fans and our ACs and so on. All right, time now for the analysts. I'm joined by business writer at the Jamaica Observer, David Rose, and Julian Morrison, founder of Wealth Watch JA. Welcome back, David and Julian.
Good evening, Kalila.
Hey, Kalila.
So before we get into this evening's topics, a quick update on the 1GS IPO. It is now closed. So 48 hours, open and close, less than 48 hours. And it was oversubscribed according to a press release sent out late this evening. We do not know by how much it was oversubscribed just yet. I called and tried to, you know, get that information. They said they didn't have it yet. So hopefully by tomorrow or sometime this week, we'll know the level of oversubscription. That's what I'm interested in because we've been watching it to see what the appetite of the market is right now for an IPO since it's the first one of the year, the first one since December last year. And so the level of oversubscription is what we're really interested in. They said they got 4,000 applications, though. Is that a lot by typical standards, David and Julian? 4,000 applications?
You can go ahead, Julian.
Yeah, I wouldn't say 4,000 is a lot. It's probably somewhere in the middle, but within the context of the offer size, I would say it's a modest uptake. But what we're looking at is how quickly it closed. So the offer opening on Monday and closing on Tuesday is a good signal, given all the challenges in the market, retail investors getting squeezed by inflation, higher interest rates, reducing the demand for equity uptake. So against that backdrop, it's definitely a good signal.
Okay. Anything to add on that, David?
No, the reality is applications sound small in context, but remember that, you know, there are a lot of events that have occurred recently this year. So 4,000 and it being the first IPO 2023 is still a decent take-up, because in the past, it used to be the case whereby you would hear probably 1,000 to 2,000 persons applying for an IPO. So tier four, waiting for the final numbers and the quantum of oversubscription, you know, we kind of tell the rest of the story, because might have 4,000 applications, but those applications might just be the minimum, especially on the retail side or the general public side. So just need to see how much it was oversubscribed by. But it's a good look that the offer got the take-up, considering all that's going on, high interest rates, and just, you know, persons not being able to actually access the JCC accounts, like SSL clients.
Right. All right. So hopefully we'll have more information by next week, and we can discuss it again on the analyst next week, since this is breaking news just coming this evening, like a couple hours ago. David, so you want to look at JetCon, which is a used car dealer. They are listed on the stock exchange, and they're maintaining a positive outlook in the wake of having to dispose of 10 units from their electric vehicle fleets because there have been slow sales. So tell me what's happening there at JetCon.
JetCon is feeling the reality that everybody else is feeling, which is higher rates means less persons are going to be able to qualify for used car deals. So, you know, while they mentioned that, you know, banks are not as interested in lending for used cars, the reality is lending is still going on, probably not at the same pace or growth like in prior times, but at the same time, whereas I might have been able to afford a used car at 7%, it probably not be the same case now, where I have to be paying probably 10, 11%, you know, as my interest rate. And banks are not going to be pushing out more loans just, you know, to meet targets if it's going to end up becoming a bad loan later on. So, like, that's just part of the context that's affecting JetCon. So, we saw, you know, where they said they had a 28% dip in sales. So, you saw from 251 million to 184 million, and their margins have considerably fallen. So, whereas in Q2 2022, they did about 12% gross margin, they did about 7.75% now in Q2 2023. What does that mean? If they sold $100 worth of cars, they'd have kept $12 as the gross profit, you know, difference between what they paid for it and what they sold it for as a gross profit. This year, they have sold $100 worth of cars, they only kept about $7 remainder, you know, as gross profit. And they mentioned in their report that because they wanted to get rid of some inventory they had and get that cash, they sold some of these units below cost, which, you know, resulted in incurring an $8 million loss. And they're thinking that if they had sold them at the value that, you know, would have been normal times or a regular period, it would have been a profit of about $4 million. So that kind of $20 million swing kind of shows the reality that JetCon and potentially other used car dealers are facing. Because I remember looking at NCB's new car rates. And I looked at 2021, where they're offering car rates at like 6.35% around that range. And if you check their page now on their actual website, you're going to see 10.35%. So like over 2 years, you're seeing almost 400 basis points or 4% more just to borrow a car. And even the car value hasn't increased by that same quantum, increasing the interest rates significantly constricts what persons can able to actually afford when they go to the banks. And it doesn't matter if you go to a bank or credit union, the cost of financing is much higher. And if you're getting a used car, not a new car, but a used car, you actually get less time to pay back on some of these loans.
True. Whereas
you might get 10 years with a new car, you might get 7 or 8 with a used car, which means your monthly payments are going to be much higher. Much higher. If you're paying, mm-hmm. remember, if you pay about 10 years, your monthly payments are going to be lower. If you're paying about 8 years, it's going to be higher. Shorter tenure for the loan, even if the conditions are the same. So Jack Connie is going to be facing some hard winds going forward. And it's not surprising that, you know, they're trying to pivot now. They're selling some solar panel equipment, inverters, you know, a little pivot to, you know, bringing some cash flow, some income.
Oh, and it's that's what they're doing
electrical
now?
Vehicle business. Yeah.
But yeah, I did notice that it singled out electric vehicles. I had to dispose of 10 units from the electric vehicles. So is it that sector is more affected than the other, just the regular gas and diesel used cars, that people just aren't going for the EVs?
Well,
those are more expensive. A couple of things.
No, yeah, the cost might be higher for some vehicles in terms of the upfront cost, but based on the cost savings, when a person is, for example, looks at an EV or even a hybrid, the cost in terms of reduced fuel usage or even the cost to charge might be lower over time, but the upfront cost is pretty higher.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, why am I going to get an EV and try and find a charging station? I can just usually get my simple, regular gas vehicle where I can look around anywhere and know that a gas station is there to fuel my vehicle up, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Thomas, so you started out the conversation by saying, you know, JetCon is feeling the impact of the economy right now. Everybody's feeling it tough. But Chris Brown ram. So is the economy really as bad as they say it is? Did you go to Chris Brown, David? Talk truth. Did you go?
I won't answer that.
You were in the skybox, weren't you?
Me? No, I don't.
No.
Julian looked like a skybox kind of man.
No, but Kalila, the reality is,
no comment.
People are going to tell their preferences because you have persons who are taking up party loans to attend some of these events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, YOLO, you only live once, so some persons take the party loan, pay it over a year, enjoy that once in a lifetime experience with Chris Brown. And you have to remember, people are going to have particular preferences and particular options. So whereas, you know, the microfinancier, for example, will say, hey, take the loan, go enjoy Chris Brown, take a picture and say hi for me. The bank is going to be like, no, we're not going to need the money. And show them people of it. If you can't qualify for the loan,
have money bank, for what you want to have money for. People find money for whatever they want.
No, people find money for what they want in the Kalila, but
create something that's valuable enough, people will find money. Yeah. Oh, before we switch topics, so Lanesra made a point saying a lot of people are buying straight from Japan. If it's cash, they're using moving past the middleman. So that could also be affecting JetCon.
It's plausible when you think about it, because if you find somebody that can actually guide you through the process and you do the math and it works out, it's actually a lot better for you to take that route.
Yeah, there are people even coming into the market looking for crash vehicles that they can fix up just to get a cheaper price. And we know that the used car space already was very crowded because the barrier to entry is fairly low. And we know it's a very popular market for money laundering. So many persons who would be carrying out illicit activities, they create a car mart. Just make it seem as if they're a car dealer. And they might sell a car once in a blue moon, but just the oversupply is just, it's murder in JetCon. It's really an oversupply story. Plus the interest rate situation to make it much worse. So it's tough. Wow. And then the cars are not getting cheaper. So.
And yeah, repos to Julian, when you default on the loan, the bank just auctions the vehicle back out onto the market.
Right.
That too. So Julian, you're looking at stationery and office supplies. Their second quarter financial results are out. Are they feeling the same pinch that JetCon and other industries are feeling? How did they do?
Okay.
Interestingly, their name is SOS, their acronym.
All right, just a sec. Let me share my screen.
All right, it's taking a little minute to come up. I think it's there now.
Can you see it?
Yeah, it's up now. It's coming on screen. There we go.
All right, we in business now?
I think you're sharing the wrong screen. You're sharing us.
Hold on a sec.
In the meantime, Deco says, market bad man, but people would take them last and go party it out. Roswell says, yeah, I know persons who buy from Japan. It's reasonable. Remember, car dealers buy from Japan to make profits. And then we have Ricardo commenting on JPS, saying most times JPS give estimated bills. So when solar systems are installed, normally it's recommended to contact JPS and request real bills. You know, they're not allowed to give more than 2 estimated bills a month, back to back. So consecutively, that's the word I'm looking for. They're not allowed to give more than 2 estimated bills consecutively. So Julian, I think your presentation is up now. You can go ahead.
Sure. All right. So you can we say no?
Yes. Just zoom in, please.
Zoom in.
All the way in.
I want to zoom in some more.
Make it big as possible.
Okay. All right. How is there now?
Better. Bigger still, if you can go bigger.
All right, hold on.
Control plus. Yes, all right, cool.
Okay, so I'm just going to talk about the growth that the company was experiencing post-pandemic and where it is now. So we would have seen supernormal growth for 22 and 23 to some extent because of the post-COVID recovery. The 3-year average growth rate in terms of revenues is 35.6%. while their current growth rate is 23.2%. And as we know, the supernormal growth would be baked into that, which would skew the average. But overall, the things that matter are consistent. So for example, the gross margins, we realize the gross margins have remained healthy over the years, firmly above 45% for the entire period. And the highlight for the half year ended 2023. In other words, the 6 months, they're showing gross margins of 53.4%, which is significant. It's showing that the company is getting good spread on their products. So if they buy the product for $1, they'd be selling it for $1.53 on average. In terms of the cost to income ratio, the cost to income ratio is trending downward firmly from 2020, come straight down to 2022. And year to date, the company is at 31.28%. So the question is, how much revenue is a company converting to profit, and we want the cost to income ratio to be low. It's also known as the efficiency ratio. So the lower this number is, the better it is for shareholders, because it means each dollar of revenue is being converted to profit. Now, in terms of the drivers of the growth, we're seeing where the company is still benefiting from post-pandemic recovery, which is carrying demand. There's strong demand for sleek notebooks, which the company manufactures through a recent acquisition in the last 2 or 3 financial years, I think, where the company acquired the company Seek, that manufactures the notebooks that we all know as Jamaicans. So there's also a new product line called Evolve that is being distributed by SOS, and it is a major sales driver. There is increased storage capacity in the last few years, and this is contextualized by CapEx totaling $104.6 million. Between 2022 and 2020. However, for the half year period, the company deployed another $47 million, and this has a lot to do with the expanded fleet and storage space. So the company is not only increasing its sales, but it's increasing its capacity, which means that sales down the road can have a higher potential pretty much, because the quantity can now be greater for the company. In terms of further growth drivers, the company reported that the boom in tourism in the Mobe market is another driver. And also there's a boom in call centers. Pretty much the BPO industry has a high demand for stationery and furniture, which are 2 main products that SOS carries. And additionally, in terms of the future, the company has a relationship with 3M Company, a major stationery and industrial product manufacturer. So these are new product lines that will cause the company to be more diverse in terms of what it sells in Jamaica and in other territories. In terms of the stock itself, the stock took a 9-to-1 split, which took effect in August 2nd, 2023. And in terms of the trading levels, the price, let me zoom in here. The price is now at $1.82 on a year-to-date basis, and I did this on a split-adjusted basis. So I took the December 31st price and divided it by 9 to ensure that we're comparing apples to apples. So this is a split-adjusted statistic. So the stock would be down 3.2% on a year-to-date basis if the split had happened at that time. From the 52-week high, the stock is down 53%, but it's up 29.1%. After 52-week low. So the stock has a lot of room to run in terms of momentum. The price is still attractive. Right now, the company is poised to make 18 cents in terms of the EPS for the year. And at a multiple of about 15 times, it would land the stock of $2.65. So if I was to do a rough calculation, I think that's where the stock deserves to trade. And the difference between $2.65 and the stock price currently, $1.82, is 45.8%. So what we're saying is that based on all these factors combined, we believe that the stock has the potential to move above 20% in the next year. But it depends on market conditions, of course, because if new offers
come... Yeah, because Jamaica market, funny enough, even though it deserves to trade at 265, that don't mean it's going to get there.
Right. It's a lot of moving parts. But just based on the fundamentals and where it is now, it definitely has room to run. And we're really just making a case for that based on the data.
What happened to your dog? Whose dog is that?
Not mine.
Crazy.
No, it's my dogs, and I'm not sure what's happening, but I closed the door and everything. I'm not sure. But I'm quiet now, though.
Nope. I just said that. Javon says, SOS basically has a niche market, which means consistent supply to meet demands locally, regionally, and globally may be a good addition to one's portfolio. Roswell says, SOS is an export of furniture. I like the way the company is looking to make profit by selling in other markets. And Elaine adding, let's see what the partnership in TNT and Cayman do the numbers going forward. So yes, we also have to factor that in. They have, you know, stuff going on there, room for growth in terms of what the company is doing. So good news for SOS overall. Julian, you're saying that despite the tumultuous economic environment, this company is doing well.
Absolutely. And one thing I didn't mention in the presentation is that the company tends to have a very low level of leverage. The debt to equity is relatively low because management is very averse to borrowing. It's one of those management teams that doesn't have a high debt appetite. And what that means is the company, on top of its performance, has low leverage, which means that the cost of borrowing would be lower because it's a company that is not as leveraged. So companies that borrow because they want to, and they don't borrow because they have to, they tend to have more leverage when they are negotiating with institutions, so they can get a lower interest rate. And in an environment like this, when interest rates are on the rise, that's an advantage.
Absolutely. One final comment from Roswell, who noted that SOS has passed their $1 billion revenue mark, and that is significant.
Yes, for the half year, they're at $1.04 billion. It's a record for the company.
Yeah, because I want to point out they've gone past $1 billion in multiple years, but Julian pointed out just for the half year, we're seeing this record now. And they pointed out in their quarterly report that, you know, in Q1, they had a record month. In Q2, another record month. And they're in the back to school season now with the Seek brand of books. So it's what say increased number of sales from that segment. And you're still seeing companies spend money. And they're looking to on the export side. And one to point before I close off, the Caribbean is relatively insulated in the sense that we don't manufacture the products here in the region. So your companies that are based here in Jamaica, which will supply products to the rest of the region and be the main distributor for the region. So, you know, when the other large companies come here to the region looking to sell their products, one company in Jamaica, they say, hey, I handle the rest of the region, and they just build out these niche, the niche markets in other regions, and sales continue into perpetuity.
So Philip says SOS is a secret tourism stock. I saw that too in the analysis with the reasons, the factors for the performance. But then he's also asking, so let me see if you have any insight, Julian, why is the stock price being pressured then? So all is good news, what's going on at stock price?
Well, I wouldn't say that that situation is specific to SOS. I think it's more of a macro situation where the continuous increase in interest rates have caused institutional investors to not invest in both main and junior market stocks as much as they normally would have. So the stocks will trade differently because of that lack of institutional involvement. So that's number one. Number two, we know inflationary pressures have had an impact on sentiment. And this year hasn't been a good year as it relates to investments because many persons are down in their portfolios. Many persons are seeing negative returns or returns that are smaller than in previous periods. So that fact alone would also have an impact on sentiment. And as we know, investors buy sentiment. When they feel better, they invest more. When they feel worse, they invest less. So it has a lot to do with psychology. So between the interest rate dynamic, institutional participation, and also the shift in terms of investor behavior because of what's going on a macro level, I think that many companies that are doing well aren't performing from a price standpoint as they would have maybe 3 years ago or so.
Something else to add on to that is just that when the year started, Fosset was the largest company in the junior market. The price has effectively halved, and they're now the fourth largest company on the junior market, with Lasker Manufacturing, you know, seeing a slight increase in the stock price and taking it, reclaiming its number one spot. So it's not necessarily that SOS is having, you know, these great results and nobody's looking at it, but people still exist in reality. What I mean by that, when you are going to the grocery or the supermarket and seeing your grocery bills going up, you have to spend more money there. There's less discretionary income. When you're having to pay more on your mortgage or your car loan or whatever loan, there's discretionary income to put into the stock market. And some persons, you know, just have to be selling stocks to get that liquidity to take care of potentially bills or just potentially looking to find other investments where their money is working for them. And you're even seeing on the main market whereby Massey, which is a Trinidadian company, not Jamaican, is on the largest company in the JSE. And then NCB, which has seen its price have a relative increase since, you know, Mr. Leeshin's actions, you know, is number two on the market, and you have Sagicor and so forth. So there's also a shift being observed in the largest companies, which, you know, are somewhat relatively down this year as well.
All right. Well, thanks for that insight, or for those insights, David and Julian. Always appreciated. We'll see you again soon. That's it for the analysts. We'll come back with your final comments in just a few.
This segment of Taking Stock, The Analyst, was brought to you by Profit Jumpstarter.
Attention! Are you struggling with money? Trying to figure out how to pay off your credit cards? Are you ready to learn how to invest and grow your money? I'm Kalila Reynolds, the Money General, and I'm on a mission to help you get better with money. Join me inside the Money Mission community, where I'll teach you how to manage money, make more money, and annihilate bad debt. Click the link in the description to sign up for your basic or premium membership. Let's get this money.
I took Kalila's Investing for Beginners masterclass because I heard there was an IPO launching, and I just jumped right into it.
Help me to know how to invest and the steps where you can go to achieve your goals as well.
If it is that y'all are interested in learning about investments or anything, I really suggest that you hop on that class, that masterclass, because the way that I look at money now and saving, I look at it different now.
Kalila, You are the reason Martella Brown started investing.
Learn the basics about stock market investing today. Investing for Beginners is available on demand or with a premium membership to the Money Mission community. Join now at moneymission.mn.co. The link is in the description.
All right, final comments. Marva says, my JPS bill went up 50%. Orville says, big up my boss, David and Julian. Damien says, why are we in the Caribbean stressing about JPS? Please, peeps, start your solar project now. Start small and then move up gradually. And then he also says, I've been using solar for over 9 years with no regrets. So you're completely off the grid, Damien. Elaine says, why so negative? Good luck to all 1GS shareholders. God go with you all. Why so pessimistic, Elaine? Christine says, what? JPS and Water Commission are the same. To which Arch responded, I don't even have water right now. Oh, gosh. Deco says, market bad man, but people would attack them last and go party it out. Facts. You have a good show, people are going to show up. Roswell says, the stock price of companies may not move up in value right now. However, we can get dividends. Some companies are suspending dividend payments, though. But many of the traditional ones, you're still getting that consistent dividend. Bruce says, JPS needs to do more to promote renewable energy as persons with grid tie setups are getting ripped off because of the rate which JPS uses to buy electricity from the general public. That's what they call net wheeling. So I forget what it's called. Anyway, that is our show for this evening. It was great to have you. As usual, make sure you like the video, guys. Subscribe to the channel. Where are my usual like police? To call you the like police. We always have some people in the comments saying, like up the video, guys. I don't see the like police active tonight. Subscribe to the channel and also share with a friend. Subscribe to the newsletter at KalilaReynolds.com/newsletter. And reminding you that new email subscribers get a copy of my free broker guide. There's also still time to sign up for the Money Mission community. And remember to turn on those post notifications so that you can be the first to see everything when it drops. We want to help people learn more about money so we can all get this money together. Follow me on all social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Kalila Ray. And remember, these are my only accounts. I don't have any backup accounts. If you want to connect with the analysts this week, check the description box below for their contact information. And you can also visit our website, KalilaReynolds.com, for financial information you can use however you like it. You can watch, you can listen to the podcast version of this. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're on Amazon, I think. Pretty much all podcast platforms. And you can also read our articles that are on the website. Now tell a friend about taking stock because investing is the new sexy. So let's make it cool to talk about money. I'm Kalila Reynolds. Thanks for watching and see you again next week.
Let's get this money.